I had a friend of mine who was is a pastor, and he's getting close to retiring, and he had an office at his church, and I remember walking into his office. You would walk in, and behind his desk, he had this big window that was like from floor to ceiling almost, and he had so many plants sitting in that window, some big ones, some small ones. And you'd walk in, and it looked like from behind him, if he was sitting at his desk, you could look behind him, and you go, man, there's like a jungle up in here. I mean, this is crazy. What in the world? You know, he just had this green thumb. People would give him their plants because they knew that if it was struggling, you give it to him, like this is going to start thriving, right? It was pretty cool. And, he would just talk about how he loved get the plant, you know, and so he'd get that thing, and he would, you know, make sure it's got good soil in it, so it's got good nutrients in it, and make sure it's got good light that's shining on it, you know, throughout the day, and that he would be watering this thing regularly, and because he knew that all those, you know, those things mattered, and try to take care of it. If so, there was something that looked like maybe wrong with it, try to get it corrected so it could have the best chance to thrive. And he knew that, like I think probably we do too, that plants have been created to thrive. So that seed, you know, that seed in that plant, you take that thing and you give it what it's created to have, that thing can thrive. But if you just leave it on the counter and it just is dry and there's no soil, there's no water for it, there's nothing, it kind of dry rots after a while and it's not probably worth much at all, you know. And you're probably just going to throw the thing out. But God created that seed so that it could thrive, that it could thrive. God made it to thrive, to grow. And have you ever seen plants, though, that get eaten? They get eaten by like a fungus or something? Or the bugs are just like tearing it up, just eating through it, you know, eating off the edges, and they're just dying, and so it's struggling, and so some of these leaves are starting to really just kind of go bad and die. Like, well, I got to cut that branch off, you know, and cut that little leaf off, and that, you know, it just, you go, oh my gosh, because, you know, as much as we go, they're meant to thrive, right? And we think of that. At the same time, we also know that, you know what, that there are bugs, and there are fungus, right? And they're what we call invasives. Things that are not naturally supposed to be there, and if they're there, they're kind of just like sucks the life out of it. It can just eat the life right out of that plant. How many of you have grown tomatoes before? Anybody kind of grown tomatoes, had a garden or something, or grown some type? Okay. So I like the image, especially as it gets closer to lunch, the image of tomato, probably like a BLT or something. But anyways, sounds like a good thing to me. Anyways, and so, but with tomato, I know you have to be careful. A couple reasons. One, because bugs love tomatoes, tomato plants, right? So you got to be careful with that. But also, weeds seem to love a garden. Mm-hmm. Right? Like weeds love a garden. Well, if you let weeds take over your garden, they will just suck the nutrients right out of the soil that need to go to the tomato plant, and you know, and so it just becomes a royal mess. And so all kinds of weeds and da-da-da, right? All that kind of stuff. All that stuff matters. You have to pay attention to those things. All right, so that being said, this is not a class today on growing healthy plants. It always has a purpose. You know that. God made us to thrive. God made us to thrive. God did not create us to sit and not grow. God did not save us through Jesus Christ, right? So we were not justified, that justifying, forgiving grace we talked about last Sunday. God, he did not forgive us. He did not save us so that we could live life in solitude just for ourselves. He saved us into a community, the body of Christ, so that we could live life to serve God and to serve others, right? And so we have been created, we have been saved into a family, into a church that is meant to thrive. You've been created to thrive. You may not feel like you're thriving today, and that's okay. But we were created to thrive. And God makes us grow. There's a beautiful passage in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, that I want to read that to you this morning. Just if there was any doubt to think that you and I were making our lives grow, that in some way we were smart enough, we worked hard enough, we made it, you know, we did well enough, we were good enough that we could just make it happen on our own. Our life could thrive in and of our own strength. I just thought we'd just go to the Word and hear what God has to say through the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, at verse 6, here's what Paul writes. He said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." God makes things grow. He makes it possible, right? God makes it possible. All right. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing with you this message called, right, Mission Possible. And so you probably picked up, it's been a play off of Mission Impossible, right? So, okay, fine, you got it. So, Mission Possible, that what makes this mission of our lives possible? Well, that's God's grace, that God's calling us to partner with Him, to be a part of the family of God through salvation, and that when we turn from our sins and turn to faith in Christ, that He forgives us, and so we are justified, we're able to be a part of the kingdom of God, not because we did it, but because God's grace did that for us. And then He invites us to grow. And He says, I've created you to thrive, and my grace will bring that thriving to pass in you. Now, we're going to partner together, but I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to make it happen. Okay. That grace is called sanctifying grace. And again, it is the work of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll have this on the screen here this morning for us. Paul says this. He goes, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." This is a really cool verse and a very important verse when you think about the fact that God is working. And I love this because if you look at, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image, are being transformed. It's happening to you, right? You're being transformed. It's passive. You're not making that happen. It's happening upon you. And the Lord is doing it, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God's Spirit is upon you, and He is bringing this to pass within you. Who you have become in Christ is not because of you. It's not because of your pastor. It's not because of some wise mentor that's come alongside you. It's because of God's Spirit that is in you, that has grown you, transforming you over time through your journey with God. God's done that. And God knows that there are things, just like the invasives, you know, that hurt a plant, there are things that hinder, are not healthy for our growing up in the Lord. Some of those, you know, and so you guys know some of those things, and I mean, we've all wrestled with those before, and I know for me, personally, you know, sometimes I have thought that I was, it sounds funny to say it, but it's true, that I was all that in a bag of chips, right? I'm not, but I tell you, there's been times where I was leading like I thought that I was, and I was managing ministries like I thought that I was, and I let that belief, when people keep telling you, you know, folks tell you, it's like, oh man, it's so good, you, right? And if you don't check that with the Lord, you know what's easily going to happen? It just invades on, and you think that you're all that in a bag of chips when it's not you, it's the Lord working through you. But now you took the Lord's glory and you made it your glory. That's a problem. Because that begins to suck that growth, right? Just sort of that nutrients for you. God will grow, give Him the glory, and He will grow you as you serve Him. Don't take it for yourself. Give it to the Lord. Well, there have been some times, too, where I've chosen to be selfish. You guys ever struggle with that sometimes in the past? Maybe? All right, it's just me. But anyways, there have been times where I have made selfish choices and put what I wanted as more important than maybe what was for the good of somebody else in my church or even in my family, right? Because I want what I want, and what I want, it matters. Well, it does. That's okay. But not at the expense of throwing other people under the bus. When you come on, walk with me, because when you're wrestling with that selfishness where you're fighting to elevate yourself up over somebody else, do you have peace in here? No, you don't. Why? Because you're wrestling. You're wrestling for something that is not what God has created and saved you and has sanctified you, set you apart, given His Spirit into you so that you could grow from. And that's why you wrestle with that, okay? You're wrestling against what God wants for you. And so that hinders our growth. It's sort of sucking that, it's drying up that peace that comes when we walk in step with the Spirit of God. And when we're walking in step with the Spirit, then God is growing us. It's amazing how many times, I tell you what, I have grown through my own stupidity, stupid choices I've made when I realized that was the wrong thing to do. I know some people don't like that word stupid, I'm sorry, but sometimes I just make some dumb choices. And I do some things that, you know, I'm going, But when that suffering, you know, if you get to that point where you realize, that was wrong, right? That was the wrong thing to do. That not only did it hurt somebody else's feelings or I threw them under the bus, but also know that I offended God because I failed to love them the way that God loves them. And you wrestle with that, and it hinders your growth. Wherever you're at, and however you feel, I want to share Romans 8:28 with you. God is working for the good of those who love Him. I'll come back to 8:68 in just a second. I want you to know that God wants for your good. Now, you may not feel like you deserve it, and you may feel that your life is a train wreck, and you may feel like you don't have much good to give God, and you may feel like pride or selfishness, greed, lust, anger is getting the best of you right now in your relationships. And maybe you're struggling to have a peaceful relationship with God and sense joy and really hope because whatever this is just sucking the life right out of you, right? It's that invasive and you don't feel like you're really able to thrive. I want to tell you in the midst of what may feel like your reality, I have two things I want to tell you. The first one is this. God never stops working for your good. He knows that you need Him. He knows His grace is sufficient for you. He's working for the good of those who love Him. Even though your life doesn't feel good in the moment, it does not stop God from working. And though you may feel like your circumstances are limited, it does not limit a limitless God. Our circumstances, they may feel limited. But when we feel like our circumstances are limited and I can't get to where I want to go, where I feel like I need to go to grow, it has not stopped. It has not hindered God's unlimited supply of grace that can bless you with what you need. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 8, says to us that God has the ability from His abundant supply of grace to bless you with every blessing from His glorious riches in the heavenly realms. That God could bless you. You don't need to go buy it. You don't need to create it. You don't need to try to make it happen. God is the supplier. God will bring it and He will place it into your life. Why? So that He can deal with the invasive, right? And you can realize that He's at work, even though you're still struggling with that. It feels like it's just sucking the life out of you, right? But that He's working with it, and He's giving you hope and peace and joy. Now, it may feel like a little bit, but it still is coming from the Lord. And when you focus on the Lord and realize, look, God has all that I need to bring to pass what He wants in my life for His glory and for His good so that I can serve Him faithfully, serve Him well, and the Lord will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, kind of thing. But I know the Lord will grow me up. The Lord shall bring it to pass. But at the same time, I'm not going to ignore those. And so I'm not going to ignore a playoff and say, well, those things that try to hinder me, they're really not that important because, you know, God got it all and he can handle it, blah, blah, blah. Don't underestimate the power of the enemy. Don't underestimate the power of the flesh. Don't underestimate. I like 2 Corinthians. You guys know what they're. Romans 8, verses 6 and 8. I want to read this to you real quick. Romans 8. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Those invasives in our lives, that sinful nature, those temptations, those things that come in, when we give them room to grow and to be present, that's when that becomes a problem. Because you're always going to be tempted, okay? You're going to be tempted to be prideful, to be selfish, to be greedy, temptation to lust, right? To think that you are all that in a bag of chips, right? You're going to be tempted to think that there's no hope, to feel that, well, do you really think God can handle that in your life? Do you really think he's big enough to handle that? Do you think he can give you what you need, really? Are you sure you can trust his word? I mean, you know, you never even seen Jesus. How do you know that he really exists? You never really heard God's, you know, or seen God's presence right there. Are you really sure that he exists and you can believe that he's really going to be there when you need him and that he's actually going to come back and, you know, that he's going to want to pick you? Are you sure he's not going to just leave you here and you just won't get spent? Are you sure that you can believe all this stuff? You know, I mean, honestly, we will wrestle with that our whole lives. The sinful nature is at odds with God. The devil is at odds with God. His desire is to draw you away from that faith, that you would not trust God, that you would doubt that he's a faithful God. And that he really doesn't have much better plan for you than what you just see today. I mean, that's the enemy's desire. He wants to try to drive a wedge. But God says, no, come on now. I've saved you for better than this. I have sanctified you for better than this. I have called you to greater than this. I have got greater than this in store for you. I can make it come to pass in your life. Now, it may not happen exactly the way you want it to, but if you'll just trust me, trust that I'm working for your good because I love you. Trust that I'm able to handle what concerns you today. Trust that though your heart's breaking, I still got you. Trust that though you feel like you're being overwhelmed, I can give you a way to stand up underneath that temptation so that when you've done all you can still stand. And I didn't say it would be easy, by the way, but I'll make it so you can stand. And say, guess what? Not today, devil. Because I serve a risen Lord who went to the cross and died for me, went into the grave, and 3 days later was resurrected from the dead. He claimed victory over sin and death, and he has given that to me by his righteousness. And so I am walking before God. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm not a person who's a victim. I'm a victor in Christ. And so the life that I'm living today, I live to serve the Lord, not to serve a loser such as the enemy who doesn't want anything not good for God's glory, but I want my life to be for God's glory. And so I know that everything in this world that is bad and that wants to draw me away from God is not going to be for my good, but God, you want my good, and so you're going to bring to pass good in my life in the end. I may not see a whole lot of good, but I know when the Lord welcomes me, it's going to be real good. And so I'm not holding out for good things today and prosperity today and for hurts to go away and for illnesses to be healed today because I'm not promised those things. What I'm promised is eternal life with God in his kingdom if I remain faithful and hold on to Jesus Christ for my whole life. Then I'll receive my reward because that's what God is promising. That's my hope that God can do on that second day, right? He can save me as he's already saved me. I believe he can. And so I'm holding on. And when you hold, you will find that you grow. If you let go, kind of hard to grow. Hold on. So what do I do with those desires? Well, if we didn't kind of monologue that enough, right? One simple thing that I think is very helpful. I take those things that are trying to suck the life out of me, that are not for my good, right? And I just go, I'm going to nail it to the cross. I'm going to let that thing be crucified with Christ. Because he went to the cross so that I could have forgiveness and victory over it. I'm going to crucify it with Christ. And the next time it comes back up, and you say, well, man, I already God should have took care of that. No, next time it comes back up, say, and the Spirit can bring to mind what you've already done by faith. Guess the beauty, the mystery of the Spirit, he can bring those things back and go, you know what? You done crucified that with Christ already. If you need to, just crucify with Christ again. He's got it. Crucify that with Christ. But Lord, I want people to think that I'm really good. I know. But I want people to think that I got it together. I don't want them to see that I'm weak. I don't want them to see that I'm scared on the inside. I don't want them to see that I'm afraid. I don't want them to see that I'm hurting. I don't want them to see that I'm not as smart as I think I am. And they might think I am. I don't want people to see the real me. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Christ. And when people see the real you that's not all it's probably cracked up to be, you know, you let them see the work that Christ has been doing in you. And that's where your story becomes important. Your story of how you have grown up in Christ as you have chosen intentionally to crucify those things. Let Christ be crucified in Christ. You hang him on the cross, right? So you know what? I'm not all that, and I'm okay with that. I'm not as good a preacher as y'all think I am. I'm not as good a preacher as I used to think I was. I'm not as good as a teacher as I used to think that I was, and y'all are just so kind. But I have come a long way. My wife has sat through a lot of sermons that I've given over the years since day one. She could tell you. I'm just saying. She could tell you, right? But don't ask, because you don't need to know. Come on now. We're family here. We let that go. All right. I know y'all love me. There we go. Thank you. I can always count on you guys. You got my back. Thank you. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The best for your life is because of Jesus. The best that your life will experience will be because of the presence of God at work in you. I pray that for our families and as a church, as we keep moving forward, that this will really continue to be the desire of our heart, is that we will grow in faith, not because we're going to make it happen, but God is going to bring that to pass in us by his grace. But we are going to dig in and we're going to chase that. We're going to put forth intentional efforts to grow in faith with our kids, in our marriages, in our families, as in our church ministry, and as a church at large, and knowing that when you're growing in faith in Jesus Christ, there is a renewed sense of hope that just keeps stronger and stronger, and it seems so fresh and so real that you can just grab onto it. And when life is getting shaky, you know that it's not all going to fall apart, even though it's not where you want it to be, maybe. But you know that God is good enough that he can handle this, what concerns me today, because he's a powerful God. His grace is amazing, that he can do the things that I don't fully understand. And so I'm just going to hold on to him. And you have that hope. And I love, you know, Paul again, he says that when we're suffering, when things are really hard, that suffering produces perseverance, and that perseverance develops character, and that character grows our hope, because we're experiencing how good God is. And he's growing us. Don't be afraid of struggles and suffering. Don't run from them. Don't run from them because it's hard, because it's challenging, because you don't know how it's going to turn out, because you don't know if God's going to be there for you, if he's going to get you through it. He'll get you through it. Why? Because he's working for the good of those who love him and are trusting him. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep holding on. Keep digging into prayer. Keep digging into God's word. Keep holding hands with the folks that are in the church family when you're going through hard times. Let God teach you how deep his love is in your hurt and the things you can't answer and explain. Let God show you that he is a God of abundant supply when things are getting a little tight at home, maybe financially, or food, or clothes, or whatever. Or you're not sure how the job's going to turn out, right? And when things are a little maybe rocky, maybe if they are, you know, in the marriage or with the kids, that don't give up. Hold on. Because you won't fix it anyways. God's grace can fix it. But he's going to want to work through you. So you can't quit or give up or walk away. You got to let that sanctifying grace keep working in you. Okay? Let him bring to pass what he wants for you, for his glory, for your good, and the good of those around you. You know what I think? I think that is a message that we need to keep carrying to this community and wherever God gives us touches with people, right? Where we can create connections. To encourage people to not give up on God. Encourage people to hold on to Jesus. To encourage folks to say, give grace a chance. Give grace a chance and see what God can do. Just be patient and hold on. And we'll walk with you. Because he's done marvelous things in our lives. Let him grow you from where you are. You won't regret it. Because he's a good God who wants your good. Amen. Amen. Cool. Hey, would y'all stand with me this morning? Our worship team is going to come on up and continue our morning worship. Man, let's pray. God, you're good. You are wonderful. You are such a good, good Father to us. You love us more than we really fully can understand. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that you have promised us that if we will hold on, we have the promise of eternal life with you in your heavenly kingdom. What a blessing to know that you have created that for us, and you've created us to be with you. You've created us to thrive, and you make it possible for us to thrive, and in that, to do the work of your kingdom. So help us keep working with you, Lord, that you'll be glorified. People come to faith, lives will be transformed, homes and marriages restored, and that this ministry will continue to grow in this community for your glory and honor. Amen.